My name is Dori Lawrence, and I am a project director at INSOURCE, the Indiana Resource Center for Families with Special Needs. I am here with Shauna Ritter, project coordinator for the Equity Project at Indiana University. We are here today to discuss the topic of disproportionality in special education. Shauna, can you start by telling us about the Equity Project and its goals?
Sure, and thanks for doing this with me, Dori. I really appreciate the opportunity to work with INSOURCE. The Equity Project is located at the Center for Evaluation and Education Policy at Indiana University. And we are dedicated to providing high quality data and resources and technical assistance to school districts in order to be able to create equitable school systems so that all children get equal access to the opportunities to learn that they deserve.
Great. And are there certain areas that you focus on in terms of looking at equity?
Yes, we focus especially on discipline, suspension, expulsion, and culturally responsive systems that address classroom management, as well as disproportionality in special education, which is what we're centering on today. And disproportionality in special ed is really looking at ethnic and racial overrepresentation in special education by different groups.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what cultural competence is, why it's important, and kind of what its role is in disproportionality?
Sure. Cultural competence is basically the ability to be effective working across cultures that are different than your own. We live in a very diverse world, and all of us carry our culture with us at all times. We all operate out of our culture. And that culture is complex. It includes lots of things. Our family, the language that we speak at home, the kinds of holidays and traditions that our family celebrates, as well as our racial and ethnic culture that form our view and perspectives on the world. So that when we are working with students or with colleagues who come from different cultural backgrounds, and we all do to some extent, some are small differences, some are larger differences, and of course we also have many commonalities. Cultural competence is the ability to work across cultures that are different, to find the ways in which we are similar, and to honor the ways in which we are different.
So now can you explain what disproportionality is?
Sure. Disproportionality is when, as I mentioned before, a group is not proportionate. And what I mean by that, let me give an example. It's the easiest way to explain it. If in a school district, for example, the population of the school district amongst its students was 60% children of European descent, white children, 25% African American children, and 15% Latino or Hispanic children, but the special education population at the school was 50% African American, 40% Caucasian, and 10% Hispanic, you would have disproportionate representation. In other words, if things are proportionate, your special ed population or your percentage of kids who are expelled or suspended should look the same as your general population. It should be the same percentage of kids. And in Indiana, where we tend to see disproportionality is especially amongst African American students who are overrepresented in certain categories of special education, not in the more severe categories, but most in mild mentally handicapped or in emotional disturbance, or those are the two special, and then we also see in suspension expulsion.
So I can understand that from the global view as you explain it, but as a parent, I would like to know what that means specifically for my child.
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me try to put those different things together. We want to make sure that our teachers are using the best methods of instruction to reach all our children. And part of that best methods of instruction is that teachers need to be culturally competent, or another phrase that's often used is culturally responsive. There's even a law in Indiana that's part of the school improvement plan, what we call PL Public Law 221, that Representative Greg Porter pushed through, that is a law that states that schools must show in their school improvement plans how they're using culturally competent strategies to work with students and how teachers are receiving professional development in cultural competence. So we want to make sure that our teachers are responding to children in the best way possible so that they differentiate, they make instruction best suit the kids that they're working with. Sometimes when there is a situation where a teacher feels that she or he can't give the supports to a child that they need, a teacher in the best conscience also often from the best place of their heart reaches out to find other resources for a child. And very often the very first resource that a teacher will think of is special education, because it's the one we all know most about. And so sometimes we find that children are referred to a team at the school, a support team or a student assistance team, it has different names, in order to get the supports they need. And the first avenue that's looked at is whether or not a child needs to be referred to special ed. And sometimes children do have special needs that can only be answered by special education. But sometimes children need to have some steps put in place that are going to help them learn what they haven't had the opportunity to learn before. And special ed is not necessarily the best way or the way that's most suited to the child to do that, even though special ed is an excellent resource.
Yes, and as parents, I think what we're interested in is the fact that if our children need services, that they're able to get them. And so what you're saying is that special education is not the only way that children can receive extra help at school, and so we need to look more broadly at the population and more broadly at the kind of interventions that we provide in schools.
That was very well said, Dori. I think part of it is indeed that awareness of what resources are there for children. So just to give you an example of some of the schools we've worked with, we use a framework that we've developed called LEAD, which is Local Equity Action Development. And we work with schools, and it's different in every school, as it should be. Just like every child's different, every school is different, every school district is different. But we work with school districts for them to develop a process to meet the needs of their students. And for example, one thing that some schools have done is to make sure that their student support teams, a place where a teacher goes to get support when they're trying to figure out the best way to work with a child who may not be responding to their form of instruction, is to make sure that those teams at each school have resources that are culturally competent resources and can help teachers develop different methods to work with kids that are best suited to the student as an individual and as a cultural being, both of those things at once. Because not everyone from the same culture is going to learn in the same way, obviously. There's, you know, individual differences as well as cultural differences. So that team, instead of being, as one special ed director once said, a speed bump on the way to special education, that team becomes a rich resource for tools for the teacher to be able to try tools and strategies to work with a child. And if you've, as parents may have heard the phrase RTI, response to intervention, that's being thrown around a lot now. And that's a framework that really supports this notion that you try lots of different ways to work with a child in order to find what's going to be the best support and resource for that child. In some circumstances, it might be special education, but disproportionality leads us to believe that special education is being overused for students who may have a cultural mismatch with teachers.
So since the schools typically identify the students that receive special education services, what can we as parents do to try to reduce disproportionality in our state?
I think there's lots of different ways to operate. At the very beginning level is to talk with your child's teacher. Find out how your child's doing in school before the teacher contacts you. It would be great to say that all teachers are going to reach out and contact you and let you know how your child is doing, where they're succeeding, where they might be struggling. But sometimes teachers working with 25 or more children are not always contacting each parent or don't have the time or resources to do that. But as a parent, you can take that step and contact your child's teacher to find out how he or she's doing in the classroom. The second step is if you find out that your child is struggling and is going, the teacher is going to go to that support team. Again, it could be called a general education intervention team or a teacher assistance team, student assistance team. It's different throughout the state, but the team does the same thing. You can ask to be part of that discussion at the team or at least to meet with the teacher and maybe some other representatives from the team beforehand. And the team may then have some suggestions of things you can do at home with your child to help strengthen them or some supports that you might be able to get. Parents are equally busy to teachers. But there may be some other supports that you can work with your child with before the actual referral to testing takes place for special education. So that kind of awareness is in place. If you think that there's disproportionality at your child's school, you can get on the Equity in Indiana website and look and find out more about disproportionality. And I'm sure Dory will be able to provide a link when this is broadcast to the website if you want more information about disproportionality. And you can contact your local parent organization, InSource, of course, or us and try to find out more information about what's happening in your school and your school district. Disproportionality is also actually part of the Individual with Disabilities Education Act. It's a law that if you pass a certain point, if a student in your district is more than two times likely, that group of students, to be found in certain special education categories, then actually the district has to address that.
So it sounds that with many things in education, that parent involvement makes a big difference, and it sounds like it does with disproportionality as well, that parents really need to be informed about what's going on, not only with their child, but also in their child's school.
Absolutely. And that parents really have a tremendous influence about how schools conduct their business. I think sometimes we forget that as parents, speaking as a parent myself, that sometimes we forget that when we can talk to a parent support group or to our child's teacher or to a child's principal and work as a team, that educators take that input very seriously. We also know our child the best, really, in a lot of ways, and we know different ways that our child may learn that we're aware of that the child's teacher may not be, because of the fact that all children act a little differently at school than they do at home.
Well, and at InSource, we feel very strongly that partnering with the school is the most effective way to get the best outcomes for all of our children.
Absolutely. I was talking to one teacher at a school district that was very serious about involving parents, and they called them care teams, very serious in involving parents in that team meeting. And they found out that when they did that, they actually, their rates of referral to special ed in general, and specifically their disproportionate rates, went way down because of the parent involvement, because of parents being able to share information about their child, and then also parents being able to do some of the support work to help their child in areas that they were struggling, help their child be able to catch up. And they found that in lots of instances, the the child did not need a referral to special education, but did need support in certain areas of learning. And in the cases where a child did need referral to special education, it was made much easier to develop a very appropriate IEP for that child.
Well, what do you feel like schools can do to reduce disproportionality?
Well, I love that question. I think that schools need to be able to look at all their systems, not just referral to special ed, but schools need to review their general core curriculum, their interaction, the way they communicate with students and parents. They need to think about what excites their students in terms of learning, so that they really need to look at teaching and learning through what I would call a culturally competent or culturally responsive lens, to make sure that they're setting up a climate in which students have the best opportunities to learn that suit their learning styles, and also help them bridge, so that if, you know, we all need to be able to adopt the way we learn and adapt the way we learn to different situations. And schools can help teach us how to do that. They can be bridges for us. So very concretely, I think schools can reform their intervention teams. They can be sure to help their teachers gain professional development in the area of cultural competence and communication with families. They can conduct focus groups and other opportunities of ways of families to communicate with the school that could be on the family's turf. So the school can go out to the community to talk with parents and work with parents.
Well, thank you very much, Shauna. I think you have done a great job of explaining a very complex issue. I appreciate your spending time with us today.
Thank you, Dory.
I have been speaking with Shauna Ritter from the Equity Project. If you would like to learn more about disproportionality in special education or the Equity Project, please visit their website at iub.edu/tilde-SAFESCHL/equity/. For other resources, including training and parent-friendly publications, please visit the InSource website at insource.org.